western storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. With Pentecost Sunday coming up this weekend, my friends, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and reminded that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we are called to speak out in favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very powerful. So today's show, we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit, and we'll also be highlighting our show, which is dedicated to the newly ordained deacons in the Diocese of Trenton. Last weekend, we had the privilege of being on the altar, assisting with the ordination of those men who were ordained. And they are positioned now as deacons within the church, which is very powerful. And the term deacon, my friends, comes from the Greek word diakonos, meaning servant or minister. The word, which appears at least 29 times in the New Testament, designates an appointed member of the local church who assists by serving other members and meeting material needs. So the position of deacon is very important. And in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13, it says this: "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine and fond or sordid gain, but holding to the ministry of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach." So this is very important, that the Lord will test us prior to allowing us to serve within the church. And for those who are in formation to become deacons, and in this five-year journey within the Diocese of Trenton, and for other dioceses, it could be 6 years, this requires, you know, a lot of preparation, requires a master's in theology. The formation of the deacon is paramount, as the work of the deacon and the areas that the deacon serves in is extensive. Supporting the priests out there, the deacon truly is a resource, a valuable resource to help our priests to move forward one day at a time in serving the people. And with the shortage of priests, my friends, there's no question that we have to pray for priests and for vocations to the priesthood, to the diaconate. And this is an important time in our nation and around the world, that prayer is essential to help with the vocations to the priesthood. And have you thought about becoming a priest or a deacon, my friends? Give it some thought. What is your state in life? And are you moved by the Holy Spirit to serve more? Do you have a heart to do more and want to do more, and don't know what that more is? And I encourage you to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to truly, guide you and direct you in the path that you should take. And this is important, my friends, because we won't have peace individually unless God, you know, provides it. And for that, it all starts with prayer. And I know in my own journey, my own faith journey, and my journey throughout life, you know, there are times when I had peace and times when I did not have peace. And it's in those times that I know that I need to seek out God more. I need to spend more quality time with God to regain the peace. Because unfortunately in life, there will be tough times and difficult circumstances that take us through life that steal our peace for the moment. Could be the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, a relocation. It could be some very challenging circumstances with family members within a household. But the goal is to regain the peace. And so this is important. But today's show, my friends, is again dedicated to those newly ordained men as deacons in the Diocese of Trenton and throughout the United States. And this is important. We also want to take a moment to thank our listening audience for all their support and for your donations to Holy Spirit Radio. We also want to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of Finding God in Prison and Frank Eliason for producing our show. So this is a special position once again. And in the Philippians, the book of Philippians 1:1, it says this: Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So, you know, bishops and deacons were there at the beginning. And for 2,000 years, the formation and the growth and development of the church has been ongoing. And so as a individual studying to be a deacon who will be ordained next May, I myself have experienced the journey that we take into this beautiful ministry. And in addition to that, in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 11, it talks about women. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And for those women who serve within the church, this is truly important. And women have a tremendous position within our society today as truly the gift of life is so important, and the gift of motherhood has been provided only to women. And so this is an important, you know, role that they take within the world today as the caretakers of that gift of motherhood. And we have to honor that and put that gift up on a pedestal to protect and to defend and to, you know, help women in all ways. But here in the Word of God, in 1 Timothy, the Word talks about women must be dignified, not gossips, but be temperate, and also have faith in all things. And this is important. So we pray today for all women out there to live up to that calling that God has given them as women, not only as mothers, with the gift of life coming through them, but also as women who are ministers themselves in all different ways within the church, as directors of religious education, as teachers, and as motivational speakers, as broadcasters, as people running ministries within the church of all types. We applaud our women out there who are doing a phenomenal job of really carrying the church. Many years ago, I heard that in Italy, you know, the women really carry the church in Italy. And many of our men there don't even attend church. And so, you know, we applaud our women out there for the work that they do, for the faith that they have, you know, nurtured throughout the years to give them the positions they do have within the schools, within the churches, within society. And we just pray for our women to live up to that calling, once again, to be dignified, not gossips, but be temperate and have faith in all things. So this is very important. And again, I just want to you know, go back to what it said in 1 Timothy with regards to deacon, that they will be tested And I have been tested, and we will be tested. And the key is, my friends, that we want to pass the test, because God is calling us to rise to the occasion and become greater men, to be more faithful, more dependent, more reliable, more trustworthy, to be more accountable, to be more honest, sincere, and respectful. God is calling us to these things. And then he will give us the ministry as a deacon or as a priest or in whatever capacity or role that he calls you to. Like we talked about last time, you know, God calls some of us as teachers, some as preachers, some as confessors, and some will do other things as apostles. But we all have different callings. Some are called to the married life, some to the single life, some to the religious life. Whatever your calling is, we will be tested, and God will help us to pass those tests and to live up to our genuine calling by our Father in heaven, which is powerful. And we recognize this, my friends, and we want to prepare for this. We want to come through with excellent grades in the eyes of God, because he is the ultimate judge. And there is no other judge, there is no other test that is as important as the way God will test us as husbands and fathers and deacons and priests and all kinds of positions of authority. God will test us with responsibility, with children. He will test us to do the right thing all the time, not 6 days a week, but 7 days a week, 24/7. God is watching our every word and action. He's listening, and he knows. And my friends, our job is to pass those tests and to be the best that we can be each and every day of our lives. This is important. Very, very important. And as we continue with the program, I want to just let you know, my friends, that yesterday I attended the graduation over at Georgian Court University in Lakewood, New Jersey, and actually received a master's degree in theology after 4 years of training. It was a blessing to be there with all of our other classmates, and to get a master's in theology is very powerful. It's a 5-year journey, the diaconate is, and this has been 4 years, 80% of the way, and next year will be ordained in May of 2022. So I ask you to pray for me and help me to continue our great work here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison with the support of Dale and Jane Meyer and Frank Eliason. I really appreciate those opportunities. But it was a great event. Very inspirational yesterday over at Georgian Court University. And like others who have received a master's in theology, it's like a ticket to learn and a ticket to be closer to the Lord, to get more information and to help to, you know, further the faith of the people that we come in contact with as, you know, a deacon to be. This is a great opportunity to learn and to learn about the Word of God and how our faith began and where it is today and where we are going. And we know that there is much work to do, my friends. So I am encouraged, I am inspired, and ready to go 100% for the Lord as we take on this weekend, Pentecost Sunday, which is an amazing weekend for us here in the church. And we know that, you know, if we look back at the evolution of this period of time, and we start out with the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then 3 days later, our Lord rises from the dead. We have Resurrection Day, which is so powerful event that a world time is set to that date, and that's how we truly have the year 2000 and 21 today. But after the Lord rises from the dead, you know, he preaches for 40 days. And then with the ascension of our Lord on a cloud seen by many, many people, the Lord gives us that message that in 9 days, the Holy Spirit will descend upon the apostles. And he does in the upper room. And it's a powerful event. He descends on the apostles and our Blessed Mother Mary, who is there. And we're going to talk about that today in our readings, which is so important because the Holy Spirit, you know, part of the Trinity, you know, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, who created the world, you know, and created the heavens and the earth, created man, created woman, and the Father who sent his only begotten Son down to us 2,000 years ago, who was born on Christmas Day, and he gave us that gift of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can, you know, have access to the Father through eternal life. And the Lord does it in a special way. And this weekend, we celebrate again Pentecost Sunday, where 9 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit comes to the apostles and our Blessed Mother Mary and gives them truly the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, we're going to talk about that as we get into our readings from Sunday, May 23rd, the solemnity of Pentecost Sunday. So here it is right now. We're going to move into the first reading, which is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Acts today, my friends, we hear that the word tells us that they began to speak in different tongues. And in the word of God, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of them is the gift of tongues. Being able to speak in a language that you never spoke before. And it's powerful. And here the Spirit proclaimed, enabled them to proclaim. And the Spirit enables you and I to do the same, my friends. Not all of us will have that great gift of tongues. We may not even understand it. But it's a powerful gift given to those whoever the Lord chooses to give it to. And that's powerful when the Holy Spirit comes to us. And the Holy Spirit who lives within us gives us many of those gifts. And there was a praise and worship service many years ago that I attended. And there was a gentleman there, his name of Ron, who was speaking in tongues. I've never been given the gift of tongues. This I know. But Ron had been given this gift along with some other people. And at this praise and worship service, my friends, there was a Jewish man who was married to one of the Catholic parishioners who was in the process of converting to Catholicism. And during the praise and worship, we had a segment of time where people were praying over other people. And it was just a wonderful spiritual moment, a very powerful moment. And here, Ron had prayed over this gentleman who was Jewish, and the Jewish man recognized that Ron was speaking in Hebrew, as he had attended synagogue and studied Hebrew as a young man. And Ron was unaware of this completely until this man had revealed to him that he understood what Ron was saying. Ron didn't understand what he was saying because it's a special gift that the Holy Spirit had given him, and he used it at that moment to pray over this man who was in the process of conversion to Catholicism. And I just tell you that, my friends, because God works in mysterious ways, special ways, unique ways to surprise us. No one could have orchestrated that moment. And for Ron, it was a faith-building moment. And truly, you know, many people have been given, you know, the gift of tongues. Once again, I have never had that gift. But, you know, God blesses us with all kinds of gifts. And so, as we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is so important, and we're going to look at those today during our readings as they are mentioned, you know, these are gifts to be cherished, not to be taken lightly. They're given to us through the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Trinity, and Spirit is within all of us. You know, it's a powerful thing that we want to take care of these great gifts. We want to cherish them and protect them and use them in a proper way to help build up the kingdom of God. Very powerful. So we're going to move now, my friends, to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25, which is the second reading on Pentecost Sunday, and here it is. Brothers and sisters, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the likewise. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second reading, my friends, today from Galatians chapter 5, the Lord tells us through St. Paul to live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh, which is so powerful, my friends. And there are so many desires of the flesh. We're going to talk about some of those today. And I want to start out with the story about a young lady who was 18 years old. Her name was Andrea, a girl I grew up with. Our family spent time on the Jersey Shore together. And every summer we went to the shore for a couple of weeks, and our families were there. But on her 18th birthday, Andrea, who was so, you know, passionate for partying and to going out with her friends, you know, she said to her parents many times, when I'm 18 years old, I'm going to leave this house. When I'm 18 years old, I'm leaving this house. And my friend, she had such a desire, an outburst of fury. She had such a desire to be with her friends, to party, that she said that many, many times. When I'm 18 years old, I'm going to leave this house. And Andrea, on her 18th birthday, went out with a boyfriend and went to a party and spent time with her boyfriend and drinking and partying. And that night, on a rainy night, driving in his Corvette, they hit a tree and she was killed. And so was he. And they both died in that Corvette that night. And Andrea left her house at 18 years old, but not the way she thought she was going to. It was one of the saddest funerals that I've ever been to. And I just tell you that, my friends, because, you know, we have to be careful about those desires of the flesh and how we succumb to those. And we have to be careful because, you know, if we will something so greatly that I'm going to leave this house at 18 years old, in her case, it was done, as she said it was. And this is important. And there are all kinds of examples, you know, and the word here tells us to be careful with certain things that are linked to the desires of the flesh. Is it alcohol for you? Are we in a habit pattern to get drunk or to sit at a bar and to allow ourselves to be involved with just anybody else at that bar that evening and to become sexually involved as well as a result of too much alcohol and disregard the things that God has mentioning here in Galatians with regard to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the desires of the flesh. This is important. Are you in that habit pattern? Do you need to break it? And through prayer, my friends, we can get through that. And God will help us. Is it drugs or alcohol? Many years ago, met a man. His name is Chad. And brought him meals for 6 years through Aid for Friends every Friday. 7 to 10 meals for Chad. And Chad was a 25-year-old drug and alcohol victim who then got clean and sober. And Chad, you know, lived over in Bristol, Pennsylvania, and got to know him through bringing him meals by Aid for Friends and wonderful ministry. But every Friday got a chance to talk to Chad, and when I first met him, he had been stricken with multiple sclerosis after 13 years of drug and alcohol addiction. And with that, he basically succumbed to the desires of the flesh in that drug and alcohol habit pattern. The disease that he came down with truly took him into a wheelchair as he lost the use of his legs within a short time. First using braces and crutches, and then the wheelchair. And then after a couple of years, he went to a bed and basically was unable to get in and out of the chair. So there are consequences of drug and alcohol use in excess. There are consequences for doing what God says not to do. And this is important, my friends, because the desires of the flesh will have consequences. And this is important that we get it right, so we prevent ourselves from, you know, being disciplined by God himself. And in the Word of God, it says that a father has the right to discipline his son. And we will be disciplined for going against the Word of God, what God tells us to do. Very important. And in this, you know, reading today through St. Paul in the book of Galatians, there are many things that are mentioned, and we're going to go through them once again. And we've talking about alcohol, drugs. In the Wings program, there are many men who have had incredible lives of tragedy. And one day over in the Philadelphia prison system, we had 30 men, and a gentleman about 62 years old stood up and said, as we talked about family life and the traditional marriage and family life and the call to have children, you know, to be fruitful and multiply in the context of a marriage, you know, from the book of Genesis, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will be fruitful and multiply. And it's a powerful calling. And the man stood up and he said, you know, Joe, he says, I have 27 children. And I'm 62 years old. I feel very, very guilty about that, because I've never spent any time with my kids. I've been in prison most of my life. But I have 27 children with many women. And I feel very guilty. What can I do? And once again, my friends, the desires of the flesh were given into when a man has 27 children with many women. And I said to him, well, you can't change the past. You have 27 children. All you can do is become the best man you can be and be a role model to your kids and your grandkids, and to go forward and have a great work ethic and try to improve the lives of those kids and grandkids. Do the best you can to give them whatever you can in your time, in your talents, and your financial capabilities to make their life a little bit easier. But you cannot change the past. You have 27 children. And the desires of the flesh are very great, my friends. The consequences are very great as well for those children who grow up without a father and have that great void in their lives. Because of the desires of the flesh, they will suffer and live in a home without a father, unless someone else comes to be a stepfather to them or tries to fill that void for them. But it's very, very challenging for one man to be a father to 27 children in many homes. There's just no way to do it. But the desires of the flesh, my friends, we're talking about that, are very great. Flesh has desires against the spirit, and the spirit has desires against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. And in the Wings program, we call that WFG, what feels good. And we train our men to do what God calls us to do and to avoid what he says not to do. But when people do WFG, what feels good, it's going to be a problem many times because we're ignoring the Word of God. We put it off to the side. Great mistake, because we end up with consequences like 27 children. Another time I was in court for a man who was convicted of third-degree murder, and he had been involved with two other men who set fire to a home. And within that home was a man who was killed, and they burned that home. But he was involved with that, and I came to court on his behalf because he had, you know, truly been a changed man. And like St. Paul, who is a changed man, he too made great changes in prison. It was about 2.5 to 3 years after that event that he had spent incarcerated, came into the Wings program, and he graduated with me. When it came time to go to court, I went to court for him, wrote a letter to the judge trying to help him to get a reduction in time. Certainly he was going to serve time. And the judge said, "Mr. Montone, do you know what he did?" I said, "Yes, Your Honor, I do." And he said, "And still you came here today?" I said, "Yes, I did, my Your Honor, because this man is not the same man that he was on the night that that event took place. He has made changes, and he has done well in the Wings program, which is a 50-hour mentoring program, a 10-week, 20-session program." And as we spoke with the judge, he said, "Mr. Montone, do you know that he has many children with many different women?" I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Yes, I do, Your Honor." And he said to me, "What are the chances of his 6-year-old daughter doing well in her life?" I said, "Her chances are very good, Your Honor." He said, "Well, how can you say that?" I said, "Well, Your Honor, I saw my own father 3 times in 18 years because of my parents' divorce when I was 3 years old. And I'm here before you." And he stood up and he said, "Well, I've only seen my father once in my whole life." I said, "Well, there you have it, Your Honor." And basically, you know, although this man had, you know, created many children, like 15 children with 6 or 7 different women, he ended up with circumstances very difficult. He did make changes, and he was entitled to a defense, entitled to representation by an attorney, entitled to a letter to the judge from the Wings program and representation from the Wings program in court in Philadelphia. And I went there. And nevertheless, the consequences of the desires of the flesh were right there before us. And the man had 15 children with 6 or 7 different women. And in the end, instead of getting 35 to 70 years, he ended up with 15 for 30 years, I believe. And this is, you know, the best that we can do in some cases because of the actions that someone has taken. The consequences are very great, and it's only so much that a lawyer can do or the Wings program can do, but we will do our best as we are called to do our best by God in this assignment that we call inmate reentry work in various different prisons. And we've been doing it since 1993 in more than 100 schools and 8 prison facilities throughout Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And I only tell you that, my friends, because it is a calling through the Holy Spirit working from within. It is a calling that we must fulfill. It is a mission. And when somebody calls you to do something, we have to take action. And God calls us to do it, to be, you know, on the front lines and to do this without question. you know, day in and day out is a challenging thing because going into prisons is abrasive. It's challenging because we have attitude issues. We have circumstance challenges. We have all kinds of things that we must do to succeed in helping men to change their lives, to make a different life, and to prepare them to come home as husbands and fathers and to be great men in the community once again. But the works of the flesh that are mentioned here in the book of Galatians are these, once again: immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And God lays it out through St. Paul in the book of Galatians. Very important. I want to mention here that two things, hatreds. There will be times when we as human beings will use that word, that I hate this or hate that, in daily life. And God calls us to love one another. Mother Teresa said that the greatest disease in the world was a lack of love, and she was right, my friends. Our job is to turn that around and to love one another, to give the best that we can to our families, our friends, and to all we come in contact with, but to love one another, to put that into practice in daily life, and to not just talk about it, but to become a doer of the word and not a hearer only, to take action as the book of James calls us to do. Very, very powerful. The other thing is drinking bouts. And drinking is an acceptable drug. It's an acceptable thing to actually have a drink or two. It's legal. You have to be 21 in America to do it. When I was 18, the drinking age was 18. But we have to be responsible drinkers and to not get behind the wheel of a car while under the influence of alcohol. This is important. And today you have many people who are suffering with DUIs, okay, because they were drinking under the influence, affecting their driver's licenses with suspensions. And beyond that, getting into car accidents, vehicular homicide. We had a girl who was in our program who went to prison for 4 years for vehicular homicide when she ran over a man in one of the streets of Philadelphia because she had run him down while she was under the influence of alcohol and was also using the phone. And she served 4 years for that mistake. She had no other record. But drinking bouts can come about in our lives because alcohol is an accepted thing to do. We can go to a restaurant and have drinks. We can go to a bar. You can buy alcohol in the store and bring it to your home and have drinks all night. But we have to be responsible drinkers, my friends. So if that's you out there, God's calling me to give you that message to, you know, to put a halt to these drinking bouts. And if your drinking has an impact on your family, and I'm sure it will, we've got to put a halt to that, put a stop to it. Many years ago, I was on a religious pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and an apparition site of the Blessed Mother. Not an approved site, but an apparition site nevertheless. But I will tell you that there were two nurses who were with us on that trip. Wonderful people from Montgomery County, both registered nurses doing great work for the Lord in nursing. And they shared with me that, you know, their husbands were doctors, respected doctors, but both of them had alcohol problems and other challenges with anger and would abuse their wives physically and the children. And the alcohol very often led to a very bad night in their homes. One of them told me, and she had three or four children, that many times she would have to actually hide the kids and herself in a closet until he went to sleep. And they would hide and actually put cereal in the closet because they would be in there for hours sometimes to stay away from that abusive behavior. And they gave me that information in confidence. And they told me about those events that took place because of alcohol, drinking bouts. In the hospital, these were respected physicians. In the church, everybody looked up to these men as respected physicians. But behind closed doors, they were abusive alcoholics and needed God to help them to make changes. And before any of those changes took place, my friends, divorce took place, and those two women were freed from this abusive situation due to alcohol. So again, the desires of the flesh, drinking bouts, are very real in practical daily life. And we have to get a handle on this before it gets out of hand, and we have to suffer the consequences of this as individuals. Very, very important. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live in the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. Very important message, my friends. And I just want to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. That as we proceed every day, be conscious of what you're bringing to other people. Be conscious. You and I must be conscious. What are we bringing to other people? Are we bringing love? Are we bringing joy? Or are we bringing nothing? Having a neutral attitude, not even saying good morning in a loving way, not saying please or thank you. Are we bringing depression versus joy, anxiety, fears, nervousness, or are we bringing peace? Are we unkind or are we kind? Are we stingy, selfish, or generous? The fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness. Or are we unfaithful? Is there infidelity? Are we harsh? Or are we bringing gentleness? Are we approachable? Can our children approach us with questions? Very important. Yesterday on the baseball field, while I was coaching baseball with my grandson, Dominic, one of the other coaches' sons were there, and we had walked over to the snack bar for ice cream. And I had just graduated with a master's in theology, and one of the coaches said to her son that, you know, you can ask Coach Montone anything you like, and he'll try to answer it for you. So one of the 5 or 6 year olds asked me a question about God. You know, whether or not God lives, you know, on a cloud. Is he present on a cloud? And it's powerful because when kids find you approachable, they'll ask you questions. They'll open up to you in different ways, different questions, trying to find answers about God and about life. Very important. And this little boy asked me that question. On another occasion, a young man asked me on the soccer field whether or not my parents were racist and prejudiced against a black man in the 1960s. And I shared that story before with you on the radio show right here. But when you're approachable, kids will ask you questions. They will share information. They will look for answers and try to, you know, become educated with respect to whatever the subject matter it is. So the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is key. Are we praying with our children at night or in the morning? Are we doing that, my friends? Or are we not doing that? Letting them go to sleep without prayer, without love, where they got out a good night, a bedtime story. How do we put our kids to bed? For many who don't have the second parent there, everything falls upon one parent in a single parent home. And so I encourage you to be aware of the fruit of the Spirit and to use that fruit to touch the hearts and minds of the people, all of the people that you come in contact with. The new Joe Montone is right here. And so, my friends, the fruit of the Spirit is very important. Again, if we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. Let us make that decision each and every day to do that one thing, my friends, to live by the Holy Spirit. I want to move into the Gospel of John now. John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, and chapter 16, 12 to 15. And here it is. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John today, my friends, again, Pentecost Sunday is here. Jesus says to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning." So my question to you, my friends, and to me, what are we going to say when we testify about the Lord? What are you and I prepared to say to verify the goodness of the Lord about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus? What are we going to say to defend the Lord Jesus? Or are we going to ignore it? Are we going to stand by and allow other people to say harsh things about the Lord? The Lord says in this Gospel of John, He will glorify me, but he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. This is powerful. Everything that the Father has is mine, the Lord says. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Imagine, my friends, the Holy Spirit will take what is Jesus's and declare it to us to glorify him. And this is powerful. And eternal life, truly, the Lord gives to us through his life, death, and resurrection. We have access to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and eternal life. And the Lord says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So when the Advocate comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth that comes from the Father will testify to the Lord. And we have to also testify. And like a person going into court and placing his hand on the Holy Bible, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do. You and I have to answer that question every time, my friends, as we are called to testify to the Lord, to testify about the goodness of the Lord, about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and who he is, and what he means to us. Who do you say that I am? He asked the apostles. Well, who do you and I say that Jesus is? I want you to think about that. Give it some thought. And again, God calls us to testify and to be great witnesses and to use those gifts of the Spirit in faithfulness and love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, but in this case, faithfulness to the Lord. And it is a journey, this thing we call faith. It's a journey. And our faith journey is important. We rely on it to continue to grow. Things that happen throughout that journey make us more confident, more able, willing, and ready to defend our Lord Jesus Christ and our faith, which has been given to us as a gift. And I encourage you, my friends, and inspire you on Pentecost Sunday, on this weekend, to be the best witness for the Lord that you can, to testify honestly, sincerely, respectfully, in the best way that you can for your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for being here with me at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Thank you and God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.